Get the, you guys, I'm not going to be long. I got me a big amen corner tonight. Hallelujah. I don't like to mess up anybody's plans, but I like when the Holy Spirit comes by and he has a mind of his own that he wants to see accomplished. And you don't need to stand, but the writer, James, says here, and again, I'm not going to exposit this. I just want to look at one phrase. He said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to minister the next few moments tonight on resist the wrecker. Resist the wrecker. Amen. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Continue to do it, Lord. Give us ears for eternity tonight. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd move by your presence in a continuing way in this service. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. James said, resist the devil. You know, it's this simple. If the devil needs resisted, it indicates he's trying to do something to us. If Satan needs resisted, it's because he's trying to do something to us. Amen. Ryan, will you help me real quick? Come sit on this front pew. Amen. Here's a young man dedicated to God, got a hold of his Bible in church, worshiping, has a heart for purity, has a heart to do the will of God. And here comes the devil. The devil said, look, you don't need that word. You're really not interested in spiritual things anyway. Amen. Why are you sitting here at the front? You really need to be sitting way back there in the back. Hey, don't you worship? You don't need to be worshiping. Don't listen. Where's your iPad? Where's your iPad? Come on, you don't need to be in here. I mean, a lot of better things are happening out here in the world. You'll have a lot better time out here. What was his problem? He never resisted. Have another seat. But what did the apostle say? Let me hear it. Resist the devil. Would you like another chance to do that? Would you like another chance? You don't need to be here. Let me take that. Oh, why are you sitting up here front? Come on, you need to sit back. Come on now, what are you doing? Amen. You don't need to be listening to that. Amen. Come on, let's go out here to the world. I mean, there's some really nice things. You'll like this. Come on now. Hallelujah. And by the way, I got to get the other part in there because he said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. I said the only reason we need to resist him is because he's trying to do something to us. Amen. That first example is like so many Christians. When they're tempted and when they're tried, they simply let Satan do with them as he will. Take them captive at his will. Torment them at his will. Take everything good and right and holy and pure. But the apostle said, we don't need to do that. We can resist him. How many believes it's time to resist the devil? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, let's get this straight. Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. That means we've been told what he wants to do. Amen. We've been told what he wants to do. He wants to take our salvation. He wants to take our purity. He wants to take our joy. Amen. We've been told he's come to destroy. Amen. And not only have we been told it, we have seen it. I said we have seen it over and over. When he gets involved in a family, when he gets involved in a young person's life, and he's not resisted, we have seen what he has done. How many have seen that? Enemy at work. Amen. And not only have we seen it, amen, but we see still what he's trying to do with us, every individual in this house. If you were only honest, you know exactly tonight what Satan's trying to do with you. You know exactly the thing he's tempting you with, coming against you with. Amen. We know exactly what he's trying to do with us. Maybe you know he's trying to discourage you tonight. He's trying to distract you tonight. He's trying to entangle you, to entrap you. You know what it is. And if we're honest, we'll see it. We know what relationship that is that he is using to take away our fervor and passion for God. We know about that relationship. We can see it. We can see that we care less for eternal things when our mind and our heart is wrapped up in that particular thing, a pleasure in the world. We can see it. We can see how worldly pleasure is taking away our desire for spiritual things. I said, he told us it was going to happen. We've seen it happen to others. We know when it's trying to happen to us, but there is a solution. You don't have to give in. You don't have to surrender. You don't have to let it happen. I said, you don't have to let it happen. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want you to hear me tonight. If he couldn't be resisted, we wouldn't have been instructed to resist him. Oh, I want to say that again. If he could not be resisted, we would have not been told to resist him. He doesn't have to be victorious. I said, you don't have to let it happen in your life. Oh, you say I've been discouraged for so long. You don't have to let it get you. Resist the devil. You say, I'm going to be honest. I've been tempted. The devil has laid out in front of me what looks like a pleasurable path. And everything within me is wanting to take that path. You don't have to let it happen. Oh, you can say, oh no. Amen. I mean, one more time for honesty. You know it when it's happening to you. If you're honest, and you don't have to let it happen to you. I have found when people become indifferent to the moving of God, they've lost their interest in the movement of God. They can't even really see it when God is trying to move in a message or move in a service. When people become indifferent to the move of God, they also become indifferent and unaware of the moving of Satan. I'll tell you, the people that's most in tune to what Satan's trying to do are the folks that are in tune to what God is trying to do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You see, Satan must not be ignored. Just act like he isn't working. Just act like he isn't doing what he's doing. He is not to be ignored. He is to be resisted. Hear me tonight. I said, hear me tonight. From the beginning, Satan has set about to wreck and ruin any work of God, any good thing of God. I mean, God created this creation and said it is good, and here comes Satan in the garden to try to ruin and wreck the good that God made. God does a good work of salvation. He does a good work of marriage. He does a good work in the hearts of young people, and Satan shows up and says, I believe I will wreck what God has wrought. Amen. And so it will be true. Wherever God has worked, Satan will show up to try to undo and wreck what God has done. Amen. Listen to me, saints. Amen. I'm not angry at anyone but Satan, but I want you to know he seems to be more aware of how short time is than even God's people do. I've already preached in Revelation, but it said in chapter 12 that the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. Satan knows he didn't have very long to entrap another young person, destroy another marriage, ruin and wreck in another church. He knows he doesn't have much time. But I'm telling you, somebody else ought to begin to say, oh, I realize it too. We don't have much time. time to get the soul saved. We don't have much time to see the restoration. We don't have much time to see the work of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We know what he's come to do. Amen. Jesus summarized the intent of Satan in this verse. He said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus told us what he was all about. He has come to steal. I want to tell you what a thief does if he broke into your house while you're at church tonight. Just wanted to make sure he's listening. How many caught that? I want you to know what he would do. When he walked into your house, the first thing he'd do, he'd begin to look for what is valuable. Isn't that what they do? They look for what's valuable. He has come to steal. He walks into a Christian home. He walks into a Christian life. He walks into a church, and he's looking for what's valuable. Isn't that right? If you'll let him, he'll take everything valuable out of your personal life. He'll take your faith. He'll take your hope. He'll take your joy. He'll take your purity. Amen. He'll take what is valuable from your individual life. If you let him, he'll walk in spiritually into the front door of your house. He'll take everything. He'll steal from your house what is valuable. How many here value your children? How many value your marriage? How many value the fact that you got a Christian home, not filled with sin and wickedness and darkness? I'm telling you, he'll walk into your house looking for what's valuable. He wants to steal it. I said he wants to steal any sense of eternal significance that you have. He wants to steal any sense of eternal meaning in your life. Jesus said he's come to steal. He's come to kill. Even I want you to know, to kill somebody is to take away all hope. How many's heard the expression, as long as there's life, there's hope? To kill is to take away hope. But there's another angle to that too. To take away hope is to kill. To kill takes away. And all of this, Jesus said, that enemy has come to kill hope, kill faith. Hallelujah. He wants you to believe there's no hope for your situation. So you might as well go out and live in that world. There's no hope. Amen. He wants to kill your faith. You can't believe God for this. It's never going to happen. He wants to kill your marriage if you're married. Amen. He wants to kill your prospects for a godly marriage if you're not married. Oh, he loves to kill everything about him. He's come to steal. He's come to kill. And I know I'm preaching that, but I can't stay away from the contrast. In contrast, Jesus said, "I didn't come to kill. I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Kill or life. Amen. I'm telling you, resist him and there won't be a killing. There'll be a life given. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's come to steal. He's come to kill. And then Jesus said he has come to destroy. Listen, Satan is not a builder. He has never been a builder. He's never built up righteousness. He's never built up the home unit. He's never built up faith. He's not a builder. Satan is a tear downer, if I can coin the expression. How many believes what I'm telling you? You might not have heard but he's a tear downer. He is a wrecker. Oh, I'm so tired of seeing him destroying. I mean destroying individuals. Pastor, I don't think I can come to church anymore. I'm just too discouraged. My life's in too big of he destroyed an individual. Amen. Watch a family that's been godly, serve God together, live for God together. Watch him come in. Amen. God never destroyed that marriage. He's not a destroyer. God's a builder upper. It's Satan that's the wrecker. It's Satan that's a destroyer. And folks, just let him come in and destroy the home, destroy the family, destroy the church. But I want you to know that may be his intent, to kill and to steal and to destroy. But we don't. don't have to let him. Amen. You don't have to let him. You can resist him. And the promise is victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many feels like resisting the wrecker? Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you with three things, and I'm done. Just short things. I want you to know something about Satan. He knows if he can get a person to concede to one sin in one area, he will have a foothold to get the other areas of that person's life. He knows that. If he can just get that one area, he knows if he can get us to concede to one sin. I want you to hear me, brother. I don't know if I gave it to you. I just want us to focus on if I did. If he can get you in one area of sin, he will have ground in your life to launch his attack and take others. I've dealt with folks that had big struggles in their life. I told someone recently, and I've told several folks this, so I don't know whom. But you show me a teenage boy or a young man that's struggling with pornography, and it never started there. It started when they yielded what seemed like an insignificant area of their life to the enemy. Some have been honest with me, and I've heard what it was. Some said, well, I started being disobedient to my parents. Listen to me, teenage young men. I started being disobedient to my parents, and the next thing I knew, I was addicted to that filth over my smartphone. When you give him just one little area of your life, he uses that foothold to launch an invasion of your whole life. Someone else was honest with me lately, and they were having major trouble with the world. And finally, they were honest. I kept digging for it, probing for it. And finally, they were honest and said, I really know what it is. It's the music I've been listening to. I know you start mentioning music, people get nervous. But I want you to know the truth of the matter is you yield that area of your life to carnal, ungodly music. And Satan has a foothold in your life, just like a fort. That's the way they used to do when they settled this area as a frontier. That's what we have, Fort Sinclair. Lots of Indians, lots of Native Americans, a lot of French enemies. But the British came in, and the Americans, and they got a foothold. They built a fort at a strategic crossroads or a strategic waterway. And once they had that fort, they could launch attacks and launch defenses from that. Amen. You know how it is in the military. You look for that foothold. You know why some folks have strongholds of Satan in their life? They yielded the first inch of ground, and then he took that stronghold of their life, and from that he launches attacks of stealing and killing. So I want you to know, as an individual, you yield just one area to him, he'll take over your whole life. Resist in that area. Secondly, amen, that's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know, he knows that if he attacks one family member, he can wreak havoc for the whole family. Amen. He knows if he can attack and come against one family member, he can wreak havoc in that whole family. Amen. I want to tell you where he usually starts. He usually starts with dad. He'll come against that. Aren't you glad for our godly dads? But he will come against our dads or our future dads. He knows that. He knows that even now. If he'll come against dad, everything he can do to tear dad down, get dad uninterested in the things of God. But if he can't get dad, then he starts in on mom. Anyone still with me tonight? Why? Brother Brock, he knows if he can launch a major attack against one family member, he can come in against the whole family. And if he can't get dad and he can't get mom, he starts in on the kids. I want you to know, you think you have a battle with the enemy as a Christian family. You don't know what a battle with the enemy is until he comes in and gets into the life of one of your children. It wreaks havoc for the whole family. Right? Amen. So let's go back. As an individual, if he can get a foothold in one area of your life, he'll begin to take over all of your life. In a family, if he can begin to get a hold of one family member, he'll wreak havoc to the whole family. The last thing we need to know is Satan. He knows that if he can attack even one family of the church, get that family to turn from God, to get that family to self-destruct, he knows if he can hurt one family, he can hurt a whole church. If he can wreak havoc in one family, he can wreak havoc in a whole church. Hallelujah. You say, I feel pretty depressed. No need to be depressed, because if you're an individual, you don't have to yield that area. You don't have to let Satan have that foothold. You can resist him. If you're a family, you can stand against him at your door, Dad. You can say, you're not coming in this house. Hallelujah. You're not going to destroy my family. If you're a young person, you can say, devil, I know what you're trying to do. You're promising me a good time, but you're trying to destroy me so you can destroy my family. And listen, if you're a family under attack, amen, resist the devil. Amen. He knows if he can hurt your family, he can hurt the church. But if you'll resist him, you'll find the whole church right there praying with you, believing God with you, standing with you. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ready to resist the enemy? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against might, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, but put on that armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. I said, and having done all, stand. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching hitherto. Hallelujah. How many's ready to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? If you're ready to resist the devil, I want you to stand right now all over the building. I told you what I fervently believe. If you're an individual under attack, not just trial but temptation, you know exactly what Satan's doing in your life. You know how it's stolen your fervor and your passion and your love for God. If you're a family that's under attack, you know exactly what the enemy's trying to do to your family. And as a church, being sensitive to the needs of others, we can look around, and when we see a family under attack, we know what Satan's trying to do. But how many feels something rising up in you? I know what he's trying to do, but I'm not going to let him. It's not just I'm not going to let, I don't have to let him. Oh, hallelujah. I can't get a picture out of my mind. In the 80s, there was a democracy uprising in Tiananmen Square in China. How many remember that? And a picture I can't get out of my mind is in a street, a vacant street except for tanks. There was one protester standing in front of that big tank. I don't know how that all turned out. Vaguely, I do. You may feel like that under the attack of Satan. You may feel like that lonely, skinny little protester in front of that huge tank in the middle of the street. What a showdown. Just a little individual and a big old tank. You may feel like that, but you have the promise of God. Resist the devil, and the tank's turning around. I said, resist the devil, and the tank's turning around. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm opening the altars right now, individual or family. You know what the devil's trying to do, and you're going to come forward tonight and say, I refuse to let him do it. I'm making my stand. I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. You say, I know what he's trying to do, but I refuse to. I'm going to resist him tonight. That's it. Come on. Come and stand so we can have more room. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. And also figuratively, to be, I know what he's trying to do, and I refuse to let him. What about it, young people? Are you under attack of trial or temptation? You know, there's no doubt in your mind what Satan's trying to do. Well, don't you stand up and say, I refuse to let him. 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 That's it. Go ahead and pour out your heart like you're doing. Come on, go ahead. Amen. There's others. Don't let him do it. Don't stand by and let him do it. Resist the devil. Listen to me. He will do it. He will be victorious if you let him. If you don't make a stand, he'll run right over you. He'll do it. He'll destroy your home. He'll destroy your marriage. He'll destroy your family. But you don't have to let him do it. Oh, come on. There's others that need to make a stand.
The devil had a battle and I won.
Come on, say, I'm not going to let him do it.
Me and the devil had a battle and I won. Me and the devil both agree. I hate him and he hates me. Me and the devil had a battle and I won. Me and the devil had a battle and I won.
Oh, come on. Make a stand.
Me and the devil had a battle and I won.
Resist the devil. Resist the devil.
Me and the devil had a battle.
Submit yourself to God.
Me and the devil had a battle and I won. Me and the devil had a battle and I won. But me and the devil
make a stand.
I hate him and he hates me.
Make a stand.
Me and the devil had a battle and I won.
I resist you, Satan.
Me and the devil both agree. I hate him and he hates me. Me
and he will flee from you.
Jesus.